Hello, and welcome to another episode of VG Club. I'm your host, Daxter23Jack, a.k.a. Viv. And today I am joined by Ben, a.k.a. BJK394.
Hello.
Javi, a.k.a. Javiously.
Yo, yo.
And Chris, a.k.a. KoreaNet.
Hey.
And I know this is a weird aside, Javi. What was your username back on the IGN blogs?
It was probably Juvie008OK. It's like that was like my first handle when you know, the internet was brand new and I was like, you know, creating your Yahoo account, you know, and all that stuff. And there's a wrestler called Juventud Guerrero, and like his whole thing was his nickname, I guess, was like Hoovy Juice or whatever. So, and I'm like, oh, that sounds like Javi. And people used to call me, or like my friends at the time were like, oh, they'd call me Hoovy Juice or whatever. So, yeah. It says Hoovy008OK. And so the 008 was James Bond 007, but I'm the next one, 008. And then the OK was because I had an account that was just Juvie008 and I forgot the password. So I had to make a new one with OK at the end. There you go.
Story. I mean, I came up with Daxter23Jack because I was trying to write a review for IGN GameScoop back in the day, and I was trying to think of a username, and I was just like, it works.
Yeah.
I feel like yours is a bit more inspired, but anywho.
I don't know. It's a mess.
Tangent aside, today we are here to talk about The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, which that originally released back in 2011, I want to say.
I'm gonna say yes.
That sounds right.
Don't make me look things up.
It is. Yeah. 2011.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, after, I mean, 2006 was Twilight Princess, and I feel like after that, a lot of people, you know, it felt like the decision to port it to Wii was kind of a last minute thing, because I remember back in the day, you know, there was minute changes between, you know, being able to aim at the screen with Wii Remote and, you know, swinging, just waggling the Wiimote in order to, like, swing your sword. But people, I don't, it felt like for ages people were talking about, like, the mythical Zelda that would control, you know, entirely with motion controls. So I felt like there was a lot of talk about Skyward Sword for the longest time, and when it came out, I just never jumped on it. And
is this the game that when they debuted it, Miyamoto came out and his Wiimote just didn't work?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, it just like the live demo just totally failed.
That's such a nightmare scenario. Yeah, that's so embarrassing.
Oh, I mean, like, you've got, like, I imagine, like, in addition to, like, you know, games being, you know, complicated, filled with bugs, you know, you've got, like, a sensor bar, but then you've got the audience, you've got cameras, phones, mm-hmm. all that stuff, so I imagine that might interfere with the signal as well.
Oh, 100%. Like, it definitely wasn't on them. Like, surely they did a, I mean, I think they mentioned that they did a rehearsal and it went flawlessly. It's just, like, the amount of cell phones in the room must have messed with the Wiimote, but yeah, what a thing to like break when you're debuting it to the world. It's like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah, which I think is the reason why, you know, they prefer doing the Nintendo Direct, which is all sure. kind of like pre-recorded stuff now. They don't have to worry about that as much.
Yeah. Well, luckily the game was so good, it didn't matter, right?
Yeah. And I mean,
I was gonna say that Miyamoto getting up there and it failing on him is kind of how I felt playing it anyway. So
yeah, Skyward Sword, you know, getting around to the game almost like 15 years later, it definitely has issues, but I was able to enjoy my experience ultimately. But I think during the entire time, part of me, like, I kept having to remind myself that, you know, I think part of me wanted it to be kind of like a sky-centered, like, Wind Waker, and then I just kind of had to come to terms with, like, over my playthrough that this isn't Wind Waker, and that's okay? Question mark?
Yeah, I mean that it's fine. It's not
you asking?
That's okay.
It's not I'm asking myself. No. But yeah, no, before we kind of get into things proper, and I'm throwing the hot potato at you, Ben, so if you don't, if it's too hot, you can toss it to somebody else. But did you want to go ahead and describe the story for us?
Sure. As someone who didn't actually finish the game, only got halfway through, I guess the story is Link and Zelda are like in Knights or in the Knight Academy in Skyloft, which is a town that floats way above the sky. And I guess no one knows that there's like land beneath the clouds. Until Link finds a magic talking sword that shows him the way down to the surface. Or the Zelda gets kidnapped and he has to go down to the surface to find her. Something like that.
Yeah, I think
it's Zelda. There's a tornado. Kidnapped.
Yep.
Yes, I remember that now. Ancient talking sword that is kind of part robot, I guess. Link down to the surface.
Yeah, and then Link, you know, like regular games, goes to several different dungeons to kind of progress the story. You find out Zelda's the incarnation of the goddess who, after sealing away, I forget the Dark One, but what's the name of the evil Chaos King that eventually becomes Ganondorf?
Demise,
thank you.
Yeah.
And yeah, basically, you know, she, unlike past Zeldas, I feel like she has a bit more agency in this game. I feel like Impa is still helping them along, but at the same time, they're not waiting to be rescued by Link the entire game. So that was a refreshing change of pace, but I wasn't the biggest fan of kind of Link's kind of side companion in this game. You know, it's just like going up until, I want to say Breath of the Wild, Link always had like a side companion, be it Navi, Tattle, King of Redlands, Amidna, and I just feel like out of all of those, I think she's supposed to kind of look like a mechanical, like, ballerina, like, you know, like when you open, like, a music box sort of thing.
You could argue she was your companion in all those other games, too. Because the Master Sword is always there. She's been there through time. That part, I think, is real. I know that it, like, leaves the player to, like, you know, make that, I don't know, to like make that as special as you want it to, right? Like the games don't do that. Like that's a retroactively they're saying, oh, she was there the whole time in your sword. I like that twist though. I think that's very neat.
Yeah, but I just felt like she didn't have too many like character moments. Like towards end, and Ben, I take it you don't mind spoilers at all.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, she kind of displays some emotions. Like, I enjoyed our journey and I'll miss you. And just be like, this is illogical, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's like one of these things where, like, in many ways, Grisham, or how do you pronounce his name?
Girahim.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I'd say Girahim. Yeah.
Girahim?
Yeah.
Yeah, Girahim.
No, oh, is it not?
there's, yeah, it's Girahim.
Gotcha.
Okay. Well, he's allowed to be like a total freak, and he's basically like, you know, Fee's direct counterpoint alter ego, because he's like Demise's sword manifest. He actually gets to have a personality, whereas Fee kind of just, you know, is like a servant the entire game, mute, monotone, and I felt like she never really added much. The one thing I will say about her is, like, kind of they are able to kind of use her to, like, implement, like, oh, you can bring her up for, like, help and be like, hey, can I have a hint about this room or what was I doing? That sort of thing. So, I mean, like, user interface-wise, she's good, but I don't know if I want, like, Siri as, you know, my companion.
AI companion. I mean, it is funny, though, that, like, in the context of where we're at right now with regards to AI and stuff, it does recolor characters like that. I use characters in quotes.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I don't really, like, feel compelled to, like, I don't know, give this robot the benefit of the doubt that, you know, I don't know. It's just, it makes it a little bit less appealing than it might have been, you know, in the past.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you know, I was trying to, like, when I was writing up my notes on this game, so I didn't figure out, I was trying to think of examples of, like, more well-developed, like, inorganic life forms, machines, robots, and games, and I was just like, well, I mean, like, Legion, Edie from Mass Effect, I feel like they're able to kind of, they're more well-developed. You've got Robo from Chrono Trigger, Clank,
Astrobot,
Dr. Nefarious, kind of, and, like, HK-47 from the Knights of the Old Republic. Yeah. And I feel like those, you know, they're able to be inorganic, but they're also able to have, like, a, no pun intended, fleshed out character. And sure. I felt like V never got that. It's one of these things where it's a Zelda game. Most people aren't here for the story. It's just after getting Midna last game, like, for Twilight Princess, it's just kind of hard to live up to that.
I mean, I apply that like sentiment to the entirety of Skyward Sword, where it's like, who made this? How is this the core Zelda team? Like, they just forgot everything that made Zelda great. It's just worse across the board, and it's weird.
Yeah, I think the dungeons
can shine. You know, some of the dungeon design is incredible. It's just I don't know, man.
I think that, and we'll get into this when we talk about the controls, but I think that's the limiting factor here. Is like they had to limit a whole bunch because of how you had to control the game and what they wanted to do with it, because they wanted it to be motion controlled. So it's just going to be lesser in regards to how the other games were.
It's so obvious that, like, that was their mandate. Is that, yeah, like, we want to just lean in as hard as we can to motion controls and see if we can, like, I don't know, I guess prove out that this kind of input is valuable and worthwhile. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they never went back in any way, shape, or form in all these games since, like, to me, just illustrates, no, actually, that was a mistake. Like, regular controls are better. We're not, like, doing this.
Neat idea, but it just doesn't work.
It definitely does feel tech demo-ish, kind of, in a way, as opposed to kind of the game being made for, like, I guess, more intrinsic reasons. It felt like, okay, we need to push the limits of this hardware. Like I said, there was, like, this mythical, like, motion controlled Zelda that I felt like they were always kind of striving to achieve, and
no,
they never got quite there, because I mean, we can be fun, but like you said, it's just more fun playing with a controller.
Here's the thing, though, because I've had a good stint where I was, like, very into VR, and to this day I'm still, like, subscribed to a lot of YouTube channels that are all VR, and you know, every couple weeks there's a new classic game that has been retrofit by the fans to work fully in VR, right? And honestly, Skyward Sword might go really hard in VR. Like you're looking through Link's eyes and the sword is actually one-to-one your hand and stuff, and not just, like, this third person awkward approximation of your motion controls, you know? I think that might work really well. I don't know. Like, and that might be a good thing for somebody to focus on porting properly, because that might, like, actually prove out the vision of what they're trying to do here. And I think a lot of the things that were supposed to be super interesting but ended up being frustrating, or not interesting might totally work if you're actually like, if the motion tracking is one-to-one where you're actually making the door dizzy with your hand and, you know, the sword fights and all that stuff. Like, don't feel like, because the problem is more often than not, you're trying to do a motion to swing left to right, but it's not quite catching up with you. You have to like put your hand out so that the game is like, okay, we're our hand is here. Now do your clean swipe. And it's just awkward. There's like an extra beat that like breaks the illusion and makes it really frustrating. Like a perfect example is those freaking, I forget what they're called, like the plants that can split their mouth up and down or left and right. And it's like lining up your slash to be as perfect as the game requires to like actually hit them is so clumsy, and it doesn't feel good. Ever.
No, I would bonk like the side of their mouth being like, shit, I did it the wrong way. Yeah, and they would change their mouth formation. So yeah. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be like, oh, you had more than a couple times.
Your slash. It didn't count. It's like, fuck. Okay.
I think for me, the move, like, it seems like we're moving on to controls. I think the kind of like motion control movement that got me the most was the thrust. It was a thing where like I would try like thrusting, but it would never quite register, and I'd have to do the motion like a couple of times before it would, which was kind of annoying in one of the final boss fights against Grisham, because when you're fighting him, you have to do a thrust move, and it would be a thing where like I would try doing a thrust, and it would be another movement, and then he would be like, okay, I'm no longer vulnerable. Let's get back to it. So I kept failing over and over to the point where like I had to turn off motion controls in order to complete that boss fight.
And I played on the Switch too.
The
Switch version, but yeah, like the thrust I could never get proper, and like early on there's these spiders that are like attached to like a web, and you whack them and they spin around and you have to hit them in the center, and it's like I feel like an idiot trying to, like, I've been playing games for 40 some years and I can't hit this purple thing.
I feel like that's kind of like the Wii controls in general. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine about like Wii bowling and like other Wii sports stuff, and like those games were fun, but also you eventually realize like you can kind of just like flip your wrist and do it the right way and it'll still bowl exactly the same every single time. It's like it was never doing, you know, the one-to-one motion. It was always doing, you know, the weird specific motion that you know move requires, and like figuring that out. And that was always like kind of the issue with like a lot of the Wii's motion controls in general.
Yeah, and you know, outside of the sword play, I think the motion control bit that got to me the most, because you know, I played with motion controls because I wanted to be able to use the, you know, second analog stick for camera control. So I would only hold down the bumper.
You have to pull down the bumper to move the camera.
Yeah,
it's nuts. It's nuts. It sucks.
Yeah. But I think the part, motion control part that got to me the most was like kind of when you were on your loft wing or doing skydiving. Skydiving especially was so frustrating for me, because like every time you pressed up, Link would go into like a free dive mode. And sometimes I'd be like, no, I just want to inch up so I can reach, you know, like there's a... God, what is it? There's a request that requires you to get to like a bird's nest, and you can do it. You can do it by getting to the highest point in sky loft and diving, but it requires you to like incrementally like inch your way over with the regular controls, not to mention kind of like motion controls, which made it so frustrating. I must have failed that several times before I finally got it. You can do like a workaround, like Beetle's house, by like, you know, waiting until it's over the nest and like hitting Beetle's house and climbing up from there, but I hated that. I felt so stupid.
Yeah.
And I was just like, why couldn't they assign like the free dive to like L3 or R3, just something else other than up?
They just needlessly added friction to the gameplay across the entire game. Like, even if you get used to it and it's like, okay, I get it, there's always just at least a tiny layer of like accounting for bullshit that you don't have to in other games.
And I guess, Ben, you were saying you got halfway through the game. Are Javi and me the only ones who completed it?
Oh, I didn't complete it.
I didn't finish.
Okay, yeah, I think I gathered that, but Javi, you didn't finish either?
No, I was saying before you joined the call that I got further than I'd ever had, so there's that. But then simultaneously while I was playing this, it just so happens that a streamer that I watch started playing, so I did watch him complete it. So okay. I did see the whole game, I just didn't play it all myself.
No, fair enough. Okay, I guess I'm the only one that completed it, but like, you know, this was probably the longest game we've probably played on VG for VG Club. I forgot what the hour count I was at ultimately. I think it was like 30 something hours for me. But what caused you to stop playing? Did you just gradually lose interest? Did you get frustrated? Both you and Chris, I suppose. And
lost interest. Lost interest.
I started playing. I was like, yeah, I'm into it. 'Cause like I was kind of excited to go back to it. I hadn't played it since it came out on the Wii, and I didn't make it. I think I made it down onto the ground the first time I played. So I didn't even do the first temple the first time. And I made it farther this time, made it to the second area. I made it through the first temple. But then I started playing Adventures of Elliot, which is Zelda, but it's 2D Zelda. And I've recently started playing it again to kind of like, you know, catch up so we could record this week. But yeah, I'm like, I don't enjoy it. So like, it's like, yeah, I'm kind of forcing myself to play it.
Yeah, it was always the controls for me. Like, I got to, I think I did 3 dungeons. I want to say the fire temple was the last one I did. And even that one where you have to like balance on the big ball as you're like rolling through the temple, and like there's some motion controls with that because you have to like keep Link balance on the ball. Mm-hmm. Even that was just like just more of a chore than like a fun, cool puzzle to solve. And
is
yeah,
that
control? I just
like the worst part of Mario Galaxy, where like the the Wiimote is like a joystick, and you kind of tilt it in the direction you want to go.
Oh yeah, it was like it would take place on that like mini golf course. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. And then you get to the hole in one, or not the hole at the end. It would break open the ball, and you'd get
and
the power star.
The music speed is tied to the ball speed, so it's like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Remember that?
Yeah, there was actually a lot about, you know, I was playing through Skyward Sword, and the Lothwing component reminded me of one of the, you know, motion control parts in Galaxy as well.
The Manta Ray.
I don't know if it's Manta Ray, but there was also that flight. There was also that flight minigame, if you remember.
Okay, I don't, but I could see it.
Yeah, I felt like, honestly, it might just be nostalgia, but part of me is just like, you know, back in 2007, I felt like this controlled better in Super Mario Galaxy than it did in Skyward Sword, because it took me a while to get used to like Loftwing controls. Like for that opening like scenario, they have you for like, you get your Loftwing after you free it from Groose's trap, and then you, I don't know if it even was a trap.
he was trying to hide your bird so you couldn't take the test.
Yeah. Real scumbag.
Yeah, but regardless, like, you know, like for the test, like there was like a medallion or something that you had to get from like a little tiny tiny bird, and like I kept doing that part with motion controls, and I was just like, screw this, I'm just going to do it with analog controls, and I was able to do it so much better. But even after that point, like when I was playing more with motion controls, I was never able to get those crows that had the rubies, like in the sky. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but it never felt right to me. And, you know, but I think that seems like a general through point for the rest of y'all too. Like, it never quite got there. There was always something kind of preventing you from getting kind of like enmeshed with the controls.
Yeah, controls never really felt good. They were always more of a thing you had to fight through to actually play the game itself.
Which, I'm 100% in agreement with you, Ben, and it's a shame, because you get to the temples and they're cool. Like, there's some neat puzzles in there. It's like, this would be really, really awesome if I wasn't fighting the game to advance through it. Because some of these they're really fun Zelda puzzles.
Yeah. No, the dungeon design's pretty good for the most part. I know there's, like, in the lava temple you were talking about Ben, you really do have to roll on that ball for, like, a quick moment. But I really like the rest of that temple.
Yeah, and then there's the one where you get, like, that weird, like, vacuum tool. You have to, like, suck up the sand and basically, like, clean up the temple. Like, that was clever. Like, it's a clever... You know, it's a clever Zelda item and thing you use in that temple.
I compulsively, maybe not every room, but I think I cleaned a lot more than I had to with that. Because I was just searching for, like, hidden stuff all over. And then I was just like, well, I did most of the room. I might as well do the rest of the room. And I did that several times.
Imagine if those super cool dungeons instead were just put into Breath of the Wild. Now we're talking.
Yeah, honestly, I think people, the best of both worlds, just like the in the immortal words of Hannah Montana.
So true.
Wait. Yeah, like, I think I would like these temples and puzzles put in there, and also my problem with Breath of the Wild is it's just so open.
Yeah.
That it's too open for me. And, like, Skyward Sword is pretty directed. So, like, if it could give me that in Breath of the Wild, it would be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really swung from one extreme to the other between these games.
Yeah, but I felt like they hit a lot more with Breath of the Wild. And I mean, like, it was one of those things where, like, I skipped Skyward Sword. I think I was like Chris, I played, you know, got a touchdown on the Earth, and then I quit playing when I originally played it on the Wii. So I got much, much farther than I did several years ago. But yeah. Another motion control thing while we're still on the topic that got me, the freaking bug net. I eventually got it, but I always felt like an idiot seeing it.
Oh, just like waving the net around trying to catch a bug.
Yeah, it sucks. Yep.
The whip, I also sometimes had problems with the whip, but I guess that was more like a flick of a wrist thing, so it wasn't as bad. But I just had trouble making it do what I wanted to do. Did any of y'all get to the whip part of the game?
I don't think so.
I saw the whip part of the game. I mean, I will say, whenever there's like a chasm, or especially like later in the game, when there's like sections that are like you're racing against a clock, like you got to be fast, and like, you know, there'll be a chasm, you got to pull out the whip, you got to hit the thing, and Indiana Jones your way across it. Like, that stuff's cool. Like, I think that's really neat.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's just sometimes, like, I would be trying to get to a point on, like, another side of the room. Like, I don't know, like, there would be bars in the way, and I'd just be like, how can I not reach it? And then sometimes I'd be like, oh, it wants me to pickpocket? Okay. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah.
But while we're on the subject, the dungeons are actually really inspired. Like, what was it? There's like a lily pad kind of waterish dungeon that's halfway through the game. And like underneath that, you've kind of got this like river, a pool of like poison. And like there's a part where like you're climbing up a rope and then all these skeletons are like climbing up the rope after you and like trying to grab your leg and drag you down with them. It was actually like really inspired. I was like, holy shit, that it was actually a pretty tense sequence. So there's like some there's some good points in this. And like, I don't know, I liked all the I don't know how many of you did the side quests, but like the ones on the pumpkin inn aisle.
I did one.
I think I did some of those.
Wait, is that where you like rolled into that dude's chandelier and he's mad at you?
Yeah, and then you kind of work for him. Some of it's like, I need you to run this to somebody while it's still warm. You got 5 minutes. Others, it's just like, hey, I need you to carry like a mountain full of these pumpkins without dropping them. That sort of stuff. I had fun with that.
Yeah, I did do the ghost hand bathroom one where there's a ghost in the bathroom that needs paper. I did that side quest.
How did you resolve that?
I think because he wants paper, and then there's a character that has a love letter that wants you to give to another classmate, and I think I did choose to give the love letter to the ghost in the bathroom who wants paper.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's a good idea for a quest. I was just frustrated because what is it? I think the Javi, you would probably know this, the concept ludonarrative dissonance.
The classic Uncharted argument?
Yeah, kind of like, you know, something in the gameplay undersells or invalidates like a story thing. And it was like one of these things where it's just like, you know, Groose is down below and he's kind of gotten used to like living down on the surface. He's not coming back to his room, and he has like a picture of a crudely drawn picture of me on his punching bag. I could give that picture to the ghost while also giving the love letter to its intended recipient. Or no, you can't do that. Yeah. It was just stuff like that with that quest where I was just like, I know it's trying to be funny, and like I think if you went your route, the ghost kind of becomes starts to crush on Bruce's shorter friend.
Yeah, I think the ghost falls in love with the person who wrote the love letter.
While we're on the subject, shout out to Bruce. That's maybe the best part of the game.
some of the like other classmates and they're well written for sure.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of like some of the mini games? Because like there's what is it? There's the bamboo one. Did you guys play around with that at all?
I think I did once. Yeah, it's like cutting the bamboo with the sword.
Yeah, it gets easier as you go along the game because your sword gets longer after each dungeon you complete.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
But because of that, like a game gets easier, but I was never able to like what was it? Like there's a what do you call the stones from like Ocarina, like the royal stones where you would put on the Mask of Truth? You know what I'm talking about, right, Javi?
You're talking about the three, like the things you get from the first three dungeons when you bring them to the Temple of Time. Is that what you're talking about?
No. Like in Ocarina of Time, you know, there was those like stones where you'd put on the Mask of Truth, and it would tell you like a secret about the world or like a plot detail. If you hit them, they would like go up in the sky and like rocket and then explode.
Oh shit. You're like, yeah, that's not something I'm super familiar
gospel
with.
Gospel stones. I think that's what they are. Huh. But regardless, there's one in the back that it's just like, oh yeah, his record's 43, and I could never get to 43.
spiritual stones. Oh, you're talking about the little freaking gravestone, like those little, you hit them with your sword and they wobble all over the place. Yeah. Those things. Okay. You were saying stone, so I was picturing like something you hold in your hand, you know what I mean? So I'm like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. But yeah, no, I do remember those.
Yeah, I just never was able to get to that point. So I kind of got a little frustrated with that, but that was also a good way to make money. Like if you get between like 15 and 19, you can get like 3 times the amount you put in. So you could like save up a lot of money and buy all the Beatles stuff early if you did that.
Yeah. Oh, the gossip stones, my bad, not gospel.
Thank you for the correction.
Yes.
But yeah, no. So you got halfway through the game, Ben. Where did you stop after the desert dungeon?
I think so. I think that was the last one I did.
Okay. Yeah, because let's see. There's 7 dungeons in the game. And let's see. There was, yeah, Skyview Temple, Earth Temple, Lanaru Mining Facility. Then you've got the Ancient Cistern, which is like that lily pad poison dungeon. And then you've got the Sand Ship, Fire Sanctuary. And then finally, you've got Sky Keep, which is like a, oh God, you know those like puzzles where it's like a 3x3 like grid, but one square is missing? And oh, you have to like make an puzzle? Image?
Yeah, slide puzzles. Yeah.
Slide puzzles, yeah, that's pretty much what the final dungeon is. Like, you're sliding around the room so you can gain access, like, oh, I need to put this room here so I can gain access to it, and then, like, move around the other ones. That's
pretty,
pardon?
I'm so good at slide puzzles. Wind Waker, when you get the title to that lady's property on that island, like, there's, her little house is just full of like a series of those slide puzzles. I love it.
Yeah, and I think it was also a thing like for me, speaking of Wind Waker, I played that before Skyward Sword, so I think that also kind of colored my perspective, because when I was going around the sky overworld, it felt so like barren and like lifeless. Like, I think, you know, like in Wind Waker, you kind of had this like, what was it, like almost like 8x8 grid worth of like islands, and each island was kind of like unique, even if it was just like one of the islands where it's just like, oh, this one looks like the one one-sided die, you know, that sort of thing. And I never got that with Skyward Sword, all the islands uninspired.
Yeah, the sky islands, I mean, it was like when you first get the ability to fly, you're like, oh, this is really cool, and then you're like, oh, there's like nothing up here. There's Skyloft, there's the pumpkin in place, and then like a handful of other ones, but there's really nothing else to do up there, really.
You just fly around and pick up treasure chests like after you unlock them on the ground.
Yeah, that's really it.
Yeah, and I mean, like, honestly, some of the combat could be a little frustrating too. There's a segment later in the game where you're trying to fight a parasite that's infected a sky whale, and kind of just using your bird to take out all the parasites so you can land on its back and actually fight the parasite. It was frustrating.
That's the game for me. That's like frustrating.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you know, it's one of these things where it's like they literally made a version of the game that doesn't have motion controls, but you know, in order to play it, you have to sacrifice camera controls.
It's absolutely insane.
Yeah. I mean, that's like that's a decision that like, it feels like, did you guys even play it? Right. How is this acceptable? It's crazy.
Maybe they just had like a mandate from like Nintendo, and it's like, hey, people need to be able to play this in when they have it in portable mode, and it's like, oh shit.
Honestly, though, like, you don't have the option to flip it to where, like, the right stick is always camera controls, and then you hold down the bumper to swing the sword. That might go a long way to fix, like...
Oh, yeah, that would have been nice to have that option. Or, yeah, at the very least, have, like, you know, like, oh, left wings. I don't want to deal with the motion control on that, but I'll deal with the motion control for the regular combat. That would have been nice, too.
Sure. That would have worked so much better too, Javi, because you can lock on to enemies. So like if you lock on and you just hold down both the bumper and the trigger, yeah, then I can swing my sword. And it's otherwise,
such an obvious solution.
Yeah, like the right stick would just be like, oh, I can actually maneuver like a normal 3D game.
Mm-hmm.
I remember also I was playing this game with my wife a lot, so it's just like every time I would have to like raise the sword above my head to like activate like one of the like goddess cubes or whatever. it would just be like having to recalibrate the controller when I was off. It would just be like, oh shit, okay, now it works. But it's just like it's like back in the day with the bunny ear antennas, like trying to get the right position.
You just want to like hit it.
But yeah, no, and then beyond that, I mean, you know, visual kind of musical wise, I mean, it's a Zelda game. Like, I adore the music from these games, so I feel like it was firing on all cylinders on that front. I think I still like Wind Waker and Twilight Princess's soundtrack more, but you know, it's perfectly suitable. And yeah, I like the cel-shaded graphics. I feel like it made the game age better than I think, you know, it would have otherwise, like if they had tried going for like a Twilight Princess art style.
I disagree. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I think you could argue that it aged. Like it looks how it did before, but I don't like it. I don't like how it looks. Actually, you know what? I will say that what they were going for, and I remember back in the day when this was new and they said as much, is that they're going for like, you know, that style of painting that is made of a bunch of like splotches, like dots of paint, and like as you get further away from it, the picture comes together. And a lot of that was like illustrated. I could probably pull up old screenshots, but like the environments, like the further away stuff is, the more it looked like paint, like smears of paint, and it was less defined. And I feel like in the HD version that we all played, I assume, and it's on a modern panel or a modern TV, you lose that whole art style. It doesn't come across that way at all. But like on a Wii, on a CRT, it's like so blurry that it totally looks the way they described.
Huh.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't love the art style. I think it's worse.
Yeah,
it's
serviceable. I still prefer like the cel shaded style that Wind Waker used. But at that point, I don't know if like I'm going completely nostalgia brain or not.
No, I think Wind Waker's art style the is so rock solid that it stands the test of time. It looks as good as it is supposed to. Like it, like there's some like slight improvements to like the shaders that you could do to make it like come across even better. But like overall, Wind Waker looks phenomenal today, and I think that I don't know. It's a matter of taste, but I think Skyward Sword just isn't as good like in the art direction.
Oh, fair enough. And one thing I did have an issue with is just Link's faces. They always look so awkward. Like sometimes I would find myself like bursting into like just laughter or just like a slight giggle, because I'd be like in Link's face and I'd just be like, oh my god, you are so awkward.
Why does Link have lips? Like, very clearly defined lips. It freaks me out, dude. It looks bad.
It does.
I hate it. Don't give him lips.
Or, like, when he's trying to make a smile, I would just be like, no, you're not a smiling person. Yeah. You don't have to.
Please stop that. You're making me uncomfortable. I don't dislike the art style, but I do think, like, the colors are just very muted. like if you're comparing it to something like Wind Waker, where those colors are so bright and pop, like this is all just like, it's very flat.
Yeah.
It just doesn't have like the life that Wind Waker had. And it doesn't have the realism that, I'm not saying Twilight Princess looks realistic, but like there's like that style is, they're going for a different look. And this is, it's just a little muted.
Well, it's the problem that like compounds on itself, because like the game itself is so stripped down. Like they just put all their chips into motion controls to where like the complexity of the game itself and the environments, it just isn't there. It's so simple. And so it just feels like in the same way, it feels like it's like Zelda for like little babies in a way. And it's like, I hate to say that, because I do, and I don't mean it in like terms of like just aesthetic, because I do like a lot of games that look like children's media. Like that's not the problem. The problem is that like design wise, the game is so stripped down, stripped back, that it's like kind of uninteresting and unappealing, in my opinion.
Like in a what way? Like, I guess like,
well, like I'm looking at screenshots right now. I'm looking at screenshots for to illustrate the like painterly look that was lost when it like got ported to HD. And just like being reminded like of like this environment here. I'm gonna paste the screenshot. Like, doesn't this space, like look at this space and look at what's here to interact with, and think about what do you do here? And the answer is virtually nothing. Like there's nothing to it. It's just not very interesting. I don't know if that like is coming across.
The worlds are a bit more barren. There's not much to interact with.
That's what I mean.
Okay. Yeah, and that, as you said, Javi, it comes back to it's the whole design philosophy of we got to make this motion control, because you can't have multiple enemies. You can't have multiple things here to interact with, because you can only have the one thing, because that's how the motion control is going to work. Because if you have more, it's going to fuck up. And like, it's going to be real bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
One thing you guys probably didn't get around to, but there's a lot of, there's a part in the game where there's just a lot of water segments, like the entirety of the forest gets flooded at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of have to like collect these like tadstones. They are kind of like notes that look like frogs, or tadpoles that look like frog.
Okay.
Notes that look like tadpoles. Tadpoles that look like notes. You get what I'm trying to say. I'm so sorry.
You're collecting something.
No, but you spend like 30 minutes like getting those. And then you go back. You go into like the water temple where you get like the whip and all that stuff. And that was probably, well, there was some inspired points in that dungeon. There was also some really frustrating points. So like, the water traversal wasn't the greatest as well. I don't know. Javi, did you get to that point? Or was that when you were watching the streamer play? Wait, what?
Sorry, I was typing out. I found a photo of what I was looking for. But anyways, you're saying, did I get to what, the water temple? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the like cistern, the area where the forest is like flooded, and you have to search for all the tadstones.
No, I didn't do that.
Okay, but you did watch the guy, your streamer do it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't a fun part of the game, but go ahead, Chris.
So, I mean, I didn't make it. Like, I made it to the temple after Skyview. What's that? The Earth Temple, I think. I think that's where I'm at right now. The Earth Temple.
The one with the, oh, no, that's not the one with the digging. What did you unlock there?
The bombs. Lava Temple?
Yeah, they call it the Earth Temple, but yeah, it's basically
it's fire. Temple. Like there's lots of fire.
Just two fire temples, so that's why I think they try to distinguish it. But they're basically two fire temples.
But so that's where I'm at. And in the first temple, though, there was like obviously places that like, oh, because you have to, at one point you fill up, like you have to raise the water level so you can progress into like the final room in Skyview Temple. And it's like, I should be able to swim down. And then I'm like looking up how to swim down. It's like, you have to get like, you have to find this special skill to swim down. It's like, what? Like, yeah. I should just be able to, why can't I get it? There's no water up. I mean, there is water though. There's water up on
there is
high loft.
And like, there's a little cave that you can't reach.
Yeah.
So I'm like why, Link could dive in Ocarina.
Right. Like, yeah. Like, it was just so weird that like, we're going to lock something that should be standard in a 3D game, like behind something else that he needs to find.
Yeah. But I mean,
at least
like,
at least let us dive, but not deep enough to get to the thing. Just so that sure. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and are you talking about in, like, the first temple, like, there's, like, a crawl space initially, and then you're, like, flood it, and you're trying to get into that crawl space?
So, yeah, like, I'm like, how the hell do I get, and, like, and I figured it out real quick, right? You turn to the side, and it's like, oh, there's moss there. You just climb up it. Like, there's vines. But, yeah, it's like, well, I flooded this fucking room. And the way I got in was I crawled into it. Like, I should just be able to swim back out the way I came in. And it's like, no, we're going to force you to do it this other way. I'm like, but why wouldn't you even give me the option? Like, you could be like, hey, you're going to try and swim and you're going to die because you don't have enough oxygen. You have to build that up over time. But yeah, they're just like, nope, this is the way. And also, Link can only float for right now.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things where I'm, like, trying to remember, like, you know, Ocarina of Time and Twilight Princess. They both had, like, you know, underwater, like, combat. But, you know, they utilize, like, the iron boots, and you don't have iron boots in this game. So, but I'm still, I'm trying to think, are iron boots even fun?
Probably cool. Not.
I like them.
The sound underwater, like aesthetically, it's like mwah, but you know, like in practice, it can be a bit frustrating. I mean, like I had a friend recently who was playing through Ocarina of Time for the first time, and he struggled with the water temple a little.
Well, sure. I mean, the water temple is like famous for being frustrating or whatever.
Everybody kind of hates it.
I think, like in terms of like the iron boots as a concept, are really neat. It's a way to like almost, you know, transcend to like a world that you're not allowed to be in otherwise. And then also they really got creative with the, God, it's so good in Twilight Princess with the magnets, like being able to walk on the walls and the ceiling and stuff, like, ah, so cool.
Oh yeah, that, like when that game was coming out, I was fan boying about it.
Yeah. Iron boots, but are a good thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Okay.
Yeah.
Glad to know it wasn't just me. But yeah, I think in essence that's Skyward Sword. I mean, I enjoyed my time with the game. I had to fight through it, which you shouldn't have to feel like you do that with the Zelda games. Zelda games are supposed to be, you know, typically on the more relaxing side. They can be a bit stressful, but you know, it was like a game where, like, I was going up against the final boss, and I was like, shit, do I have enough fairies to do this?
Yeah. I think despite me once again failing to get through this game, I still want to believe in my heart of hearts that someday I will finish Skyward Sword. It's just not today.
Somebody apparently just has to mod it into a first-person VR game, man. For you.
Yeah, now we're talking.
If you could just mod Javi's idea about the camera control, like,
sure.
that would work for me. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
You know what? I could pull that off with macros, because you can basically tell your controller to just always hold down the bumper, and then when you press the bumper, it stops. Oh, I could do that. Hmm. Okay. Good. Yeah.
Oh, I get what you're saying about the painting like quality. I'm trying to remember what the name of that is, because like it's like if you go to like the Louvre, there's a number of paintings that are like that. There's that one famous one where it's like a lakeside with like the people having like a picnic and like
It's like an afternoon at the lake or something like that. Yeah. Exactly. I think the game in HD, like, you don't really, it doesn't really like become that. And it doesn't, even when it does, it doesn't look as convincing as it did on the Wii when everything was really blurry. Like, it looks better in SD.
But I'm just glad I didn't have to fish out the, what is it, the Wii Motion Plus component? I think I have that somewhere, but it's buried. So, at the very least, I'm glad that I had the Switch version so I didn't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, maybe it played better on the Wii.
It might have, I think, well, I don't know if the Wii Motion Plus, like, brought the Wiimote up to the standards of a Switch Joy-Con, or if the Switch Joy-Con is more so, like, I wonder if it's a different translation layer of the motion controls.
Yeah, I don't know. I might need to, like, get out an old SD TV and experience it the way Hoppy was talking about. No. But yeah, no. That's Skyward Sword. I mean, Ben, I know you didn't get all the way through it, but what were your final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, this is nowhere close to my favorite Zelda game. I don't know. I do think the art style is interesting and inspired in some cases. I understand what you're saying about how it doesn't look as good in HD. But yeah, I think they're focused on motion controls for everything you do in the game kind of put a hindrance on essentially everything else that you enjoy about a Zelda game. Like, I don't really play Zelda games for the combat. I don't really care that much about combat in a Zelda game. I want exploration. I want to do dungeons. I want to, yeah, explore, see stuff. And this game, because it is so focused on combat and on motion controls, it kind of, everything else is on a back burner, and that's kind of what I don't like about this game. So yeah, I guess that's my final thoughts essentially.
And just out of curiosity, what's your favorite Zelda game? Are you a 2D Zelda person or 3D?
I mean, 3D, my favorite 3D Zelda is, I usually like Majora's Mask is my favorite one. My favorite 2D is Minish Cap. I love Minish Cap. That's probably my favorite Zelda game.
Nice. Yeah, I've never, for me, I've never been the, like, 2D Zeldas can be hit or miss, but I think a Link Between Worlds, that just hit, like, a sweet spot for me. A Link Between Worlds, that was the 3DS game, right?
Yeah, that's the 3DS one.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite, but I actually like the most recent Zelda one, where you actually play as Zelda. That one was fun, too, even if it wasn't a traditional Zelda game.
Echoes of Wisdom?
Echoes of Wisdom, there we go. I was like, I wanted to say Wand of Gamelon, but that's the CGI game.
Yeah.
You're more of a 2D Zelda person, but your favorite 3D Zelda is still Wind Waker, right?
Yeah, like I am notoriously not a 3D Zelda fan, but Wind Waker is my favorite. Yeah.
Okay. And what about you, Javi?
Oh, Wind Waker is the goat. It's the best one. Like,
okay.
It's not even.
Yeah, cool. It's hard to beat. It's hard to beat Wind Waker, but Majora's Mask, Ocarina of Time, even Twilight Princess. Like, I feel like that's like golden age of like 3D Zelda. And I mean, like, you always, I mean, like on the Perfectly Sane show, you always hear this from Jeff, but a lot of people like to want to go back to that like era of Zelda.
Yes.
And I feel like there's got to be a good way to mix some of the stuff that, you know, Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom did with kind of classic kind of dungeon elements. I wonder if they'll be able to do that with the next iteration of the series. But
I think what they would have to do, because a lot of what makes dungeons work is the item that you get in the dungeon, like the whole thing is designed around it, right? That's what was the conflict is with Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, is that you have every item already from the very beginning. You have all the ability that you have are already unlocked from scratch, because you can go anywhere in any order. And so they've created this situation where, like, the traditional Zelda dungeon is kind of impossible. But I think that to take a page out of Link Between Worlds, like, in that you rent the item that you're going to bring to the dungeon that needs it. Like, that's how you get into it, even. I don't like the rental system. I think it kind of, like, it just from a narrative standpoint, I think it takes me out of it in a way. So I think maybe a better solution is, like, you go to a dungeon. You can go into any dungeon at any time. Like, there's no barrier to entry. But once you get in there, maybe you have a temporary item that only works there or something. I don't know. But, like, I think there needs to be some, I don't know. But I think, like, basically, like, building the dungeons once again around a mechanic that you get there is perhaps the way to go.
As I mentioned, I'm playing The Adventures of Elliot, and I mean, it's a 2D Zelda style game, but they have, like, kind of that open area, but you get to a dungeon and you can go through a part of it, but if you don't have, like, the item yet, you can't finish it. So it's like you have to come back here later, and that has, like, a time travel mechanic, so you may have to go back in time to progress. But like, you could do something like that where it's like, yeah, you can go here, but, you know, we prefer if you go over here first and get progress to get the items you need.
Yeah,
isn't that why?
I mean, ultimately, like, as we're having
go ahead, Avi.
Oh yeah, I was just saying that, like, as we're having this conversation, I am, like, reminding myself that I kind of don't love the openness, like, entirely about Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. I know a lot of people do, and I get that. But, like, I do think that, like, there's a benefit to, like, oh, you're supposed to go over here first. You know, you're supposed to go here so you don't waste your time, so that there's some, like, sense of, like, you're progressing and not just aimless.
Linearity, like, in a good way.
Yeah, yeah, and a more limited open world, like, I guess open zones ish of, like, this place is big open, but you can't get to the next zone until you unlock this area or whatever. Like, I don't know, there's ways of doing that, I guess.
Think about it, the ocean in Wind Waker is kind of the perfect middle ground, because you can technically go, well, at a certain point, you can go anywhere with your boat, but, like, it's telling you where it wants you to go.
Two dungeons before you kind of King of Red Lions, it's just like, okay, I'll let you do what you want.
Yeah. But, like, at all times, Wind Waker will go, oh, we should go here next, right? So, like, you have a main line that you can choose to ignore if you want. So it's still open and free in the way that Breath of the Wild is, but at the same time, there's a structure and there's a sense of purpose. I think that's the problem with Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild. It's like, I don't feel like there's any sense of urgency. Like, I get it. Zelda's waiting for me at the castle. We got to defeat Ganon, this, that, and the other. But, like, really,
she's
just
being treated
go anywhere?
Well. She's just inside of a crystal.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It makes it, like, hard to care. You, like, run out of steam pretty easily.
And, yeah, no, and I guess quickly before we move on, in addition to The Adventures of Elliot, that looked like a cool game, so I bought it to kind of support Square Enix, because I kind of like those, like, 2D HD kind of projects they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But did you play Mina the Hollower?
Yes. Also,
that was another
kind of
Zelda.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say it's
more inspired by Link's Awakening than anything else, but
yes and no, though. Like, it is kind of designed that way, but I would say it's almost like a top-down Castlevania, more so.
Mm. Okay.
But yeah, there's Zelda DNA in there for sure.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious how you equated it to, because, yeah, Mina the Hollower, I felt like it hit that, kind of gave me that sense of exploration that I got from, like, Link Between Worlds. It felt like a good 2D Zelda game, but you're right, it does have Castlevania DNA in it.
Yeah, I mean, it has that exploration, like, but it also, it's kind of directed, right? Like, where it's like, all right, you're going to want to go to this area next, and like, you might have to solve a puzzle or something, but.
Yeah, but you're able to do the dungeons in, like, whatever order. Like, if you want to kind of go to, you know, the, what is it, the bone desert, the bone mines first, mm-hmm. you can do that, even though, you know, you probably should save that for later, since it's a higher, it's a area that requires, like, higher skill. But, no, thank you for indulging that. But, yeah, let's get back on topic. Javi, what were your final thoughts?
I mean, unfortunately, like, you know, in my heart of hearts, I wanted, like, this to be the time I play Skyward Sword, I get super into it, I beat it, and it's, like, you know, one of my favorite Zeldas, and it just didn't happen again. Where it's, like, you know, I see the positives here. You know, I think that the dungeon designs are good. I think that they're, like, the finale... where everybody's, I think the relationship, you know, I'll give it its flowers, where like the relationship with Link and Zelda is the best it's ever been. Like, especially like looking at Twilight Princess, these two don't know each other at all. Like, there is no relationship in Twilight Princess. And so it's cool to finally have them be childhood friends, and she's always been rooting for him. It's like a tragedy that she is locked away for like however many years, hundreds of years, and like he has to free her, like she, and also I love the line, like the game starts with her waking him up and calling him a sleepyhead, and then when she locks herself away, she's like, now it's your turn to wake me up, right? It's like, ah, shit, that's good stuff. So like there's stuff to like here and appreciate.
Oh yeah.
But ultimately Skyward Sword is just, it doesn't come together, man. And
it
it's gave not
us Groose. And I think we can all be thankful for that.
Groose he's carrying this game across the finish line on his back. he's like one of the most memorable and, you know, appealing parts of the game, I would say. But yeah, I don't know. This game is terribly uneven. It's a little misguided. It's kind of like baffling how the Zelda team, you know, let this happen. And I feel like they've been trying to make good on it since with Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, where they really were like, we need to change. We need to change and we need to never go back. So, and which I have my issues with those games, as we've touched on. I think that Zelda is a little bit lost in that way. I think a lot of people disagree with that. I think that's maybe not a popular take, but I miss classic Zelda. I am, and that's why I'm kind of stoked about the Ocarina of Time remake. Not because I think they're going to reinvent the wheel or do anything all that interesting, but I think
back to basics, so to speak.
It's going back to basics, and I think they might. I don't know if the game like pops off and like does really well, which I imagine it will. They might like go, maybe we had something here. Maybe we should kind of, you know, bring a little bit of this back. We'll see.
So, keeping your fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Be great.
And then, Chris, it seems like you agreed with both Ben and Hobby on a lot of points, but was there anything else you wanted to kind of add closing thought-wise?
I mean, I we'll see what happens with Ocarina, but 3D Zelda has rarely hit for me, and I was hoping, like Hobby, that, like, hey, maybe going back to it a decade later, decade plus, what, 15 years, you said, Dax, since it originally came out? Maybe this will, and it did not, and it was like, oh, this is still frustrating. So we'll see. It's always the next 3D Zelda game for me to latch onto. So
you can, you know, have Jeff try to convince you that 3D Zelda is good, finally.
Funny enough, before we started, I did tell Javi that, like, Jeff does not like Skyward Sword, and he wrote the review for us back when we were at Vagary, and I think he gave it a 3 out of 5. Said it was
that's a good score. I think that's mediocre.
That's on point.
Yeah. So he he did not like it at the time, and I don't think he still likes it. So
I have a question. Actually, I'm gonna pick at this a little bit, Chris. For me, 2D Zeldas are a little bit unappealing, and I know the reason why for me is that, like, I feel like there's such a limit to, like, my favorite 2D Zelda is probably Minish Cap or Link Between Worlds, those two. And I think the reason why, when I think about it, is that those worlds feel more realized in a way that, you know, other 2D Zeldas, I mean, because there's only so much you can do from a top-down perspective. And, like, sure. Minish Cap, yeah. Man, like, shrinking down, jumping into the tree stump, and, like, the lengths that they went to, like, really make it feel like you're tiny. There's giant leaves in the foreground and all this stuff. And, like, I like the world building and, like, how it's all represented. Mm-hmm. For me, 3D Zelda is way more appealing because I can, like, look up. I can look around. I can take in a real environment that I'm in. And I feel like that goes such a long way for a game like Zelda. So, like, I don't know. I guess I'm curious, like, that the 3D element, like, being in a place in that way doesn't do enough for you to, like, make it more appealing. Okay.
I love 3D games. It's not like I only play 2D games and hate 3D games. Like, I play mostly 3D games for the most part. But yet, something about the structure of a Zelda game I prefer just in 2D. And I think it's comes down to how the gameplay works. Mm. And it works more in my brain, I guess. Like, it just connects better than it does in a 3D environment. And also, I'm not sure that the 3D, I don't think there's enough in the world of Zelda that I care about. So it's like, it's more like, mm-hmm. I come to it for the gameplay, and I enjoy that 2D gameplay a little bit more.
Gotcha. The retro vibe. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, I have my list of games, if now's the time to start sharing.
I think that's good, and go ahead and if you want to post it in the chat, maybe we'll get Marcus to be able to vote in on things.
He's looking.
Okay,
on the lookout.
Ooh, okay,
let's see.
You want to call these out, Dax? As a
I'm going to the VG Club.
Or I can do a little spiel for each one. I'm about to be done here, just right now. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead, Javi.
Yeah. So the games I have on offer, I'm mostly going horror. There's a couple outliers, but, like, okay. First up, we got Slitterhead. This is a indie game from one of the creators of Silent Hill. Mixed reviews. There's a lot of games in here that are not, like, absolute bangers, but I find them interesting. Slitterhead is kind of a weirdo, like, horror game. I think that's in quotes. It's not that scary, but it's, you know, it's gory and gross. It's about, like, a possession entity that fights other possessed people that get grotesque and bloody. So there's that. And then Crystal Theater of Idols. I believe this was a Spanish-made indie game. It's first person. It's got kind of gothic horror vibes to it. It looks like a Bioshock, but, like, more gothic. Then Pragmata, I think, probably doesn't need an intro. This is a Capcom game that really popped off a month or two ago. This is the boring vanilla game, so if you vote for this, I'm judging you, but I also, like, want to play it, so, you know. Routine is a horror game that was announced, like, over a decade ago, long time ago. This is one of those, like, Kickstarter projects that was like, oh, that's dead, that's never coming out, and then a decade goes by and they're like, oh yeah, Routine, remember that game? It's done, and here it is, we've been working on it this whole time, and it's really, really good. I haven't played it, but the reviews are super high, and no one played it. They just, like, the hype died, and then the game quietly came out with no fanfare, and it's just dead on arrival, which is tragic because it's supposed to be pretty freaking good. So I think we should check it out. And then we got Samson is an open world game that like seemed kind of interesting, had really nice graphics, it looked almost GTA-esque, and then it comes out and gets terrible reviews. Everybody goes, oh, Samson's trash, this and that. I started this game out of just curiosity because something about it was, you know what it was? I was reminded of Vin Diesel's Wheelman, which also got critically panned. And I'm like, Vin Diesel's Wheelman hits, dude. That game is so much fun, even though it's not great. I love it. And so I was like, I'm going to check out Samson. And this will only mean something to Chris, but if you were to ask for a video game version of Deadbeat at Dawn, Samson, dude. Samson. This is like an old grimy, like grindhouse film, the streets of a trashy city. Oh, it's just a trashy game, and I'm curious about it, or I want to play more of it. But anyways, and then Reanimal, the folks that made Little Nightmares, there was like some sort of shakeup where they also made a Little Big Planet on the Vita, which is a phenomenal game. Parsier Studios, I think they're called, but they had a falling out with the publisher that owns Little Nightmares, and in the wake of that falling out, they started making their own game that's in the spirit. It's like a spiritual successor of Little Nightmares. And then that publisher is like, we'll continue making the franchise without you. And so it's kind of a Dead Space and what's that freaking game? The Callisto Protocol. Like, you know, those games came out at the same time. So it's another situation like that, but I believe Reanimal is way better than Little Nightmares 3. So
is it like 2D? Kind of like,
no, it's 3D, but it's like fixed cameras. So you're just kind of like a little, you're a little guy running around a horror world. I guess this is going to sound 2D, but think of like Inside or Limbo, but you can go forward and backwards in the environment. But it's very much like you're heading right most of the time.
I might be able to convince my brother to play this game with me since it's a co-op one.
Cool. Anyways, that's all the games.
Marcus has voted.
Nice.
All right. Cool. So right now it looks like we've got a tie between Crystal.
We need
Reanimal.
Reanimal.
Do we vote once? Oh. I forget how we vote.
Crystal is now in front of Reanimal.
Don't want Crystal to win.
You vote twice, Javi, to pick two games. Twice.
Okay.
Okay, I'll remove my pepper for Slitterhead.
Poor routine. Routine's just never getting played by anybody.
I've already played Pragmata, I didn't vote for that. Also, you're going to judge me if I did. and while, like, I heard about Slitterhead, that's neat. I looked at the images for Crystal and I'm like, yeah, this looks awesome. Routine also looks awesome. That was on my choice here, but but Samson does look so goofy that
yeah. Samson, dude.
Okay, I'm gonna
you gotta get Jeff to check out Samson. I think he'll hate it, but like you gotta appreciate the aesthetic.
Okay, I voted twice for Reanimal, so now we have another tie between that and Crystal.
I don't know how we break that, Dax.
Interesting. I think.
Okay, can you give me more information about Crystal? Because I don't want to watch a trailer of it right now while we're doing a podcast, because, you know, that makes for excellent audio content. Is it like a first-person shooter, third-person?
Bloomhouse Games is.
Or not shooter.
It is first-person.
Okay.
It's first-person. It's. Like I said, I think there are. You have, like, blood abilities. Like, think Bioshock, you do shoot with guns, but then you also absorb blood, and it's kind of a gothic horror deal.
Okay, let's see. Well, it has the survival horror benefit of only being $18.
Yes, yes.
And then, let's see.
Twisted version of Spain.
Okay, it looks like there are guns in this game. All right.
Your blood is ammunition, yeah, naturally.
It's kind of a shooter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I didn't know like what era of Spain this was in. Like, if this was kind of like more conquistador kind of Spain, where like there might be guns, but there's also an emphasis on sword.
I mean,
play.
No, there's like cars. Yeah. There's like a truck.
Yeah.
In one of the screenshots.
Okay. Cool.
I mean, growing up Catholic, this is just like a regular Saturday or Sunday.
Slightly more bloody. But...
Okay, I can give this game a shot. I can move my vote to something else, and that would make it so Crystal wins.
Okay.
Up to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I'm still. I don't know how I'll like this game, but hey, that's the point of VG Club. Kind of sometimes getting outside of our comfort zone. I really liked Crow County, so.
Oh yeah, Crow County was great.
So yeah, it looks like we will be playing Crystal Theater of Idiots.
Idols.
Idols. Idols.
What a name.
Sorry.
Wow. Dax,
that
just
might be a better name, though.
Subconsciously throwing shade at it.
A Freudian slip, my bad.
It's like, all right, well, I guess we're just a theater of idiots playing Crystal next month.
No, but I will give Crystal its fair shake, and we will be playing Crystal Theater of Idols for our game next time. Thank you so much, Ben. Thank you so much, Javi. Thank you so much, Chris, for joining me today. And thank you all for listening. And yeah, please say bye, Javi.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening.
Oh, we forgot to mention what Marcus's opinion on the game was. Oh well.
Oh.
Oh, he didn't like it.
Yeah. You can cut that in.
I'll add that in.